In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Boy, you haven't lost any of your fine touch there at that control.
Why, thank you. Not bad for an old guy, and it's been a while since we've been in the studio. I look forward, though, to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted, folks, because we don't really know any other way, and we think there are important issues that need to be discussed. I'm John Kurlinski.
And I am Stan Hudson, and across from me is John Kurlinski, Dr. John Kurlinski. He is now going to be a professor at a Christian college in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm not going because of the geography, though there are some hills in Lincoln, leaving beautiful northwest of northwest United States for the rolling cow pastures and cornfields near Cornhusker country. But it'll be an exciting opportunity to wrestle with the young minds over the serious issues.
Oh, you'll be
issues.
A blessing for those kids. I very much envy what you're doing. Well, today we are going to be looking at a fairly recent hot topic. We see it in cinema. We see it in Star Wars. We see it in movies like The Island. We hear it in politics right now, even with stem cell research. The subject is cloning.
Ooh, wouldn't you like another one of me? I'm not sure if that question...
That should settle it once and for all for all of us.
Ask your wife that question, or ask your spouse that question. Would you like another one of me? And if they say yes, then you're probably for cloning.
When we talk about cloning, of course, we're talking about the procedure that somehow biologists are able to divide right down to the very cellular level animals that can be made duplicates, perfect carbon copies of, and clone, hence the term clone. And now, you know, we had, of course, the sheep.
Dolly, the first animal
that was really successfully.
5-6 years ago, whenever that was, maybe seven.
First successfully cloned. But now, of course, the door is wide open. In many parts of the world, they're just diving into the whole subject and the procedures involving cloning, maybe even cloning human beings. Movies are made on those subjects right now. It's a topic. Even stem cell research really is all about cloning human embryos to acquire stem cells for development into possible treatments for serious illnesses. And it's a hot topic because there are moral implications.
Yeah, we don't know whether is it a good thing. There's two issues in that cloning part when it comes to stem cells. One is the harvesting of the stem cells themselves, equivalent to those who want to have an anti-abortion view of life very strong, would not want the fetuses to be destroyed for the sake of stem cells. And then there's the other end of it, which is just as kind of has the ethical issues and scariness to it all, is what do you do when you bring about a life that's almost an identical clone of you? You know, are you bringing about lives? How long will it take that life to get to a significant size and weight and height to actually be useful for you? Because like you were saying, the possibility of a bad knee will go to your clone and just kind of take his knee.
Which is really, I think, the subject of this recent movie called The Island, where supposedly there are clones of existing humans that are kept kind of in storage, so to speak, for use later for parts. I mean, think about it. If you have a bad hip or a bad knee, I mean, what's better? Forget the plastic. Get something that literally will have no rejection quality issues at all, no immune system issues or anything. It'll just kind of fit right in. Hey, what if you have a younger version of yourself and forget the facelift, just go
new face plant.
Just gotta have a new face planted.
Adds
there
a whole new meaning to that word. Instead of falling flat on your face into the face plant in the snow or the mud or the now you get
gravel.
You do a face plant with your transplant your face.
And you know, think about it. I mean, John, you and I could have clones of ourselves. They could do the honey-do list, and you and I could go off and do fishing or something.
Yeah,
you know,
hey, whatever. Go off fishing. But really, the reality is, though, if you do a clone, quote, the idea is it's still a living, the movie portrays it, I'm assuming, I haven't seen it, folks, but the idea is that they are actually duplicates of you. Very much the same thing as humans, alive, thinking, breathing. You know, at what point You know, how can you even think those thoughts only if your perception of what life is has been so devalued to be nothing more than an accidental process of unintentional forces?
Well, one time I was in a debate or a panel in a university, Washington State, where some biologists were asked questions. I asked a question, could I get a definition of life from these evolutionary biologists? And really, they kind of paused, and it's a difficult thing. And as some people say, you know life when you see it. But in terms of a definition, one of them simply said, I just think of life as chemistry. It's all chemistry.
It's all chemistry. Just
chemical reactions, one after the other, and that's what life is.
And as a result of that, it's not much more, any chemical reaction becomes as valuable as any other chemical reaction.
It's amoral.
Mm-hmm. And therefore, there is no morality, no factor that would say, we shouldn't take that knee out of John B. Clone's C and put it into the original John B.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, what if John B. Clone C just has the same intelligence too? You know, what do you do? Kind of keep him dumb and just in a tube or unharvested, uneducated? Mm-hmm. What do? You just take him for the pure body parts.
Well, John, really much of this has happened with all of this new advance in technology. It really causes us to relook at some of the moral implications of evolutionary theory as it's taught in our schools and our society. Evolution really does teach an amoral view of life. That is, if we are simply here by cosmic chance, the big kablooey, the big bang, and we have no designer, we have no God, we don't have any source of reference for a moral code, what's right or wrong, then literally it's just survival of the fittest.
Anyone's view, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
You do what you want to do, I'll do what I want to do, and that's just too bad.
And if I have to use clones to get to a happier state of life or something for me to survive better, what's
it to you?
There's no right or wrong on it.
It's a tragedy because when you go back to the philosophical, amoral philosophy of most science today, it leads you down a road that there is nothing bad about anything. There is no good or evil in life. It just is.
It's just all different judgments.
It's all different judgments. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
whatever works for you, brother.
And we can do another. I was actually, I think maybe it'd even be a, well, we won't do it in this, another talk about Hawaii in specific. I think the Beagle will go to Hawaii someday.
Oh yeah,
we'd
love that. I'll be on board for that one.
Yes, you wanna, we won't blow the boat up quite yet.
Not until we hit shore.
we'll throw coconuts at it. No, the point is there is no reason other than personal preference, when it really boils down to it, of what really matters. And what it really does is it devalues the idea of clones, devalues the idea of life, it devalues the idea of each individual person.
Right.
You know, it's hard to think, you know, the funny thing is, like, you're a very special son. And then he would say, I just like what everybody else.
Just like everybody else. Which is another way of saying no one's special.
No one's special at all.
And you know what? I asked on that same panel at Washington State, we were asking questions about evolution and personal value and everything. And one of them said, as far as I'm concerned, I don't consider myself very special. I'm just one of many, you know. And that is out of evolutionary thinking. We're just one speck on another speck in the cosmos.
Yeah.
There's nothing unique particularly about me. So cloning, everything, all of these things have no moral ramifications as such because we're just here by chance.
Yeah, I like to, when I get that kind of conversation going with people about there is nothing special, I'd say, okay, and since there is, it's kind of amoral and there is really no true basis for morality other than what kind of society thinks is moral, it doesn't really matter if I go off and kill your son or your daughter or
stick them up
or rob your wife or, you know, you wouldn't care at all if I threw a rock through your window because big deal. It's an amoral society. It doesn't really matter.
It may inconvenience you, but it's not wrong as such.
No, it's not wrong. Why should you judge me? Why should you take me to court?
You're a species just struggling to, you know.
I was just letting off some of my extra testosterone in my steam, so I just decided to throw a brick through your window. Live with it. You know.
Well, don't try it at my house, John.
Yeah.
We have moral implications
so
here.
So, really, the implications of this kind of thinking, since Darwin started the ball rolling it for our modern age, has really allowed people like the Holocaust or other cultures to try to destroy whole races of people or whole kinds of people based on just their own whim.
And this is where we get the term social Darwinism and how it has impacted social values and understandings of society. Again, you know, Karl Marx and these others, have understood Darwinian theory to impact social concerns. Now, when we talk about cloning, though, John, is it true that, you know, if you look at life, or as chemistry, as chemical reactions, and you look at a little embryo, a little tiny, itsy-bitty, you know, few cells worth of a human being, what's the difference? I mean, if you want to clone that into two or three or four and then harvest stem cells, which are undifferentiated cells that you can do research with and so forth, what's the difference? They're just chemistry.
Yeah, well, if it's just chemistry, there is no difference. Mm-hmm. If they're just chemistry and there is no moral factor, sure, go for it. Go right ahead, mm-hmm. because in the reality, each one of those don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that matters are those who are lucky enough mm-hmm. to reach full maturity, i.e., in this case, would be birth,
yeah.
and then be lucky enough to be nurtured by a mother who decided that you mattered enough to at least keep alive, mm-hmm. around, or whatever.
Well, so she can keep her genetic line going, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, whatever, even though, I mean, when you see some of your kids, you'd say, hey, why don't we just cut the genetic tree right about here?
Oh, come on.
Lop off this limb here, you know. But that's mm-hmm. the implications.
Yes.
Lop off a limb here, lop off a limb there, and pretty soon your tree don't fork.
Yeah, and, right, and the tree is, yeah, right, yeah, working for you.
The tree's working for you, and you're mm-hmm. the only one left.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the picture that we get from Scripture, mm-hmm. and that's the one thing we like to uphold. This is the, we believe, the answer that truly gives meaning, that truly gives purpose, that truly gives all those things to an individual, is that they do matter, mm-hmm. and that there is no one like you. You know, it's interesting, the Bible keeps repeating this phrase over. I've been reading it through again. I'm trying to read it through a couple times a year, and I keep mm-hmm. running across this phrase in many very unique settings.
Mm-hmm.
Either Moses or Joshua mm-hmm. or Samuel or David will always say, there's none like you. But the reality also, God says, is I make people like in my image. There's no one just like you. And that doesn't mean you're not special. That means that you are the unique one, that you matter mm-hmm. much to God.
Mm-hmm.
There's a text there, a torpedo text you'd like to share.
Torpedo text from Luke 12, and it is verse 7. It says, indeed the very hairs, this is Jesus talking, indeed the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, when he says that, the word numbering there doesn't mean just simply counted. It means valued, or kind of added up the value of each of the hairs. Can you imagine each of our hairs having value, John?
As they change, yeah.
Yeah, and some of us have a little more value than others if it's based on hair. But
or just the valuations placed in a different portion of your anatomy.
But the thing is, heaven knows us and counts us as individuals, and our value is partly in our individuality. And even in identical twins, John, research shows that
they're not identical.
They're not identical because as experiences, they are given experiences and then they encounter things in life. It changes them, literally brain chemistry and everything. They literally become different from their counterpart. So we are all unique, not just by genetics, but by experience.
By experience. And the greatest way you can have that experience is to get to know the Creator who made you.
Yes.
And that way you are wired with the best character you can possibly have,
mm-hmm.
the morals that won't cause you to throw a brick through your neighbor's window, but send him a loaf of bread instead.
Mm-hmm.
And when he asks, you know, instead of throwing him a rock, you give him a loaf of bread. You care about them. That's the ultimate value. And of course, mm-hmm. Christ, the ultimate, gave his self for,
that's right.
for these individual haired
people. The value
people.
Of something is often expressed by what somebody will pay for that.
And we want you to enjoy the value you have. And tune in again. We'll talk about Hawaii in another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.